It's Thursday, the 22nd of May, 2025, and it's time again for weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman in Flagstaff, bringing you news of interest to our veterans community here in Arizona. And today we have news from our military news websites, stripes.com, militarytimes.com, and others, as well as the websites and publications of our veteran service organizations, and of course news from the Veterans Administration. So let's start right out with stripes.com, and this first item, Team RWB completes 3,000-mile relay in a quest to motivate veterans to stay active and healthy. This is by Kaylin Barnhart of Stars and Stripes from stripes.com from the 21st of May, Washington. 12 veterans kept the American flag moving as they ran 3,000 miles across the country and completed Team Red, White, and Blue's Old Glory Ultra Relay, a challenge aimed at inspiring the nation's veterans to prioritize their physical health. Families, friends, and supporters watched and cheered Sunday as the veterans crossed the finish line at the future location of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial on the National Mall. It went better than we could have expected, Army veteran Jason Wood told Stars and Stripes at the finish line. The biggest thing for me was the camaraderie and seeing the impact that it, the relay, had across the country to communities. It took 16 days of running, 7 to 8 minute miles nonstop for the veterans to finish the 3,000-mile relay. These 12 amazing American veterans stepped up to do something I think is absolutely mind-blowing and at a superhero level, said Michael Rodriguez, president and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. They represent the beauty, strength, resiliency, and selflessness of the entire veteran population and their families. Marine Corps veteran Lindsay Casau, one of the two female runners on the team, said she would never have seen herself running 3,000 miles across the country, but she did it because of the cause it represents. Words can't describe how happy I am, said Casau, who is also employed at the VA. It was an amazing experience, but also the journey's not over. Team RWB's first Old Glory Ultra Relay established a world record for continuously relaying a single American flag across the continental United States. The relay started May the 2nd from the USS Midway Museum in San Diego. The veterans ran in the heat, snow, and adapted to elevation changes through Phoenix, Roswell, New Mexico, Dallas, Springdale, Arkansas, Nashville, Tennessee, and Salem, Virginia. It, the relay, was more than just themselves and being part of a world record, Michael Sullivan, Team RWB's chief of staff, told Stripes. It was a mission. It was the idea that they were moving things forward for other veterans like themselves. Secretary of the VA, Doug Collins, was also at the finish line to commend the runners and support Team RWB's mission of building a healthy lifestyle for veterans. Your running across America has shown that there are very valuable things that each veteran needs to hear, Collins said. Too many of our veterans today have left the service and unfortunately forgot how great they are. They no longer get up and maybe walk, run, or lift weights or do the things to keep healthy. A healthy veteran makes America better. Throughout the relay, Team RWB raised over $700,000 of their $1 million goal for veteran health and wellness, which, according to Sullivan, represents the most individual donations the nonprofit organization has received in their history. And that's Team RWB completes 3,000-mile relay in a quest to motivate veterans to stay active and healthy. Next, from Linda F. Hershey of Stars and Stripes, we have this article. Veterans seeking private medical care will no longer need a second referral from a VA doctor. This is from the 20th of May, Washington. The Department of Veterans Affairs announced it has streamlined the process for referring patients to clinicians in private practice to care for veterans when a timely appointment at the VA is not available. Effective immediately, the VA removes a requirement for a veteran to have two referrals from VA doctors before making an appointment for non-VA care. Although adoption of the Mission Act in 2019 enabled veterans for the first time to receive health coverage for non-VA treatment of their service-connected medical conditions, they were still required to seek a second endorsement from a VA doctor after getting an initial referral, the VA said. Now veterans will only need to have a review and approval from their referring VA physician that the non-VA treatment is in their best interest, the VA said. Now we're making it even easier for veterans to get their health care when and where it's most convenient for them, Doug Collins, the VA secretary, said in a statement Monday. We're putting veterans first at the department, and that means placing a premium on customer service and convenience. The referrals are to physicians in private practice who are pre-registered in the VA Health Network to receive reimbursement to care for veterans' injuries and illnesses related to military duty. VA's move to ease administrative delays for veterans' health care comes as the agency prepares for large staffing cuts this summer, according to an internal VA memo leaked to the media. The agency also recently eliminated hundreds of contracts with community-based agencies and imposed a hiring freeze on non-essential positions within the agency. The downsizing follows President Donald Trump's executive order to decrease costs and personnel across federal government. Meanwhile, VA has struggled with persistent shortages of medical personnel, a problem that exists to the entire healthcare industry, according to the National Institute of Healthcare Management. Shortages are attributed to an aging workforce coupled with rising demand for care. That's veterans seeking private medical care will no longer need a second referral from a VA doctor. Our next article is also by Linda F. Hershey. VA warned to better track the $1 billion spent to license software before making new acquisitions. This is from the 19th of May, Washington. Lawmakers are urging the Department of Veterans Affairs to do a more thorough job of tracking the commercial software it licenses, it holds, and actually uses before acquiring additional software products. The VA pays more than $1 billion annually for software licenses while failing to end practices that lead to duplication and unused software in its inventory, said Representative Tom Barrett, Republican of Michigan, at a hearing of the House Veterans Affairs Subcommittee on Technology Modernization. VA simply cannot make smart decisions about how many software licenses they buy if they don't have complete and accurate data, said Barrett, the subcommittee chairman, at a hearing Monday to examine VA's oversight of software licenses with major vendors. At the most fundamental level, VA needs to understand what licenses they own and whether they're being used, Barrett said. Barrett and other Republican lawmakers also cited President Donald Trump's executive order in March for consolidating government purchases, including information technology, through the General Services Administration. But Representative Nikki Budzinski, Democrat of Illinois, said lawmakers must first ensure that centralizing the acquisition of software will not create downstream disasters, since most VA software is not off-the-shelf technology. The VA is among about two dozen federal agencies that have not been effectively tracking and managing its software licenses, Budzinski said. The Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act grants Congress oversight of information technology investments, including software, said Carol C. Harris, Director of Information Technology and Cybersecurity at the Government Accountability Office. Software licenses specify the terms by which the federal government may use the software it acquires. Proper management of software licenses helps ensure that software is used properly as it is deployed across an enterprise or to individual workstations, Harris said. In fiscal 2025, the VA plans to spend nearly $985 million on software, including commercial software licenses, Harris said. GAO published a report last year with alarming findings about the state of software license management at VA, Barrett said. VA could not explain what they paid for specific software products that are bundled into a single licensing agreement because the costs for each individual product are not broken out, he said. VA's most widely used software vendors with the highest quantity of licenses installed in 2022 were Microsoft, HCL Technologies, 1E, and Raytheon Technologies, according to the GAO. Harris discussed two prior GAO reports conducted in January 2024 and November 2024 that reviewed how well the VA monitored software licenses. VA faced challenges in determining whether it was purchasing too many or too few of these software licenses, according to findings from January 2024. VA paid about $21 billion from fiscal 2022 through 2024 for a range of computer systems and services, including software licenses. Rights to use software are separate from the legal rights to the software itself, which are typically kept by the software manufacturer or a third party. But VA needs to regularly check software licenses against purchase orders, Harris said. Taking better inventory would enable the agency to identify duplicate and unnecessary licenses. The VA has begun to track software license use in real time to determine if licensing already was acquired before placing a new order, said Jeff Van Bemmel, Director of End User Operations at the VA's Office of Information and Technology. The VA's 2025 budget request for the Office of Information and Technology was $6.2 billion, which included $467.7 million for end-user software and $17.5 million for software maintenance. VA hospitals previously acted independently to make their own separate procurements. "We now want to look at this as an enterprise approach," Van Bemmel said. Licenses typically are required whenever commercial software is installed. The GAO also found restrictive software licensing practices that adversely impacted cloud computing efforts. Restrictive software licenses can lead to extra fees with third-party cloud providers, the GAO said. Restrictive software licensing practices include vendor processes that may limit, impede, or prevent agencies' efforts to use software in cloud computing. Harris said VA identified $65 million in savings gained over 3 years through analysis and closer management of just one of its software licenses. Van Bemmel said acquisitions are now being reviewed at the central level, and the agency is working to make sure it does not have several different commercial software products that do exactly the same thing. He said the agency currently has licenses for more than 4,000 commercial software titles. "We are identifying every accountable person for every software title," he said. Barrett said, "It is necessary to undertake the hard work of standardizing software across VA hospitals and clinics." That's VA warned to better track the $1 billion spent to license software before making new acquisitions. Next from Stripes.com, we have this article from the 16th of May by Wyatt Olson. Navy to scrap historic platforms used to salvage doomed USS Arizona. Work will begin Monday to permanently remove a pair of dilapidated platforms that were connected to the USS Arizona during salvage operations following its sinking in the 1941 Japanese surprise attack. Workers with the U.S. Navy and Pearl Harbor National Memorial will place containment buoys and anchors in the water surrounding the USS Arizona Memorial site as a precautionary measure and in preparation for removing the platforms, the Navy said in a news release Thursday. Ultimately, the Navy decided to remove the historic platforms to prevent possible damage to the USS Arizona, its memorial, and the environment, the release states. The platforms were welded to the hull of the Arizona, which sits mostly below the water in Pearl Harbor, during a lengthy salvage operation in the wake of the attack on December 7, 1941. Ferries, barges, and ships tethered to the platforms as workers stripped parts critical to the war effort. In October 2023, Memorial staff discovered the smaller of the two platforms had shifted, with its concrete surface now inclined diagonally in the water. Navy and National Park Service divers assessed the condition of both platforms and the ship's hull in the months after the decay was found. After a year of focused planning and analysis, the installation of this mooring system is a necessary precaution to ensure environmental protection ahead of removing the platforms later this year, the Navy said. Additionally, this action supports the platform removal emergency response plan. The Pearl Harbor National Memorial had hoped the platforms could be repaired rather than removed. Our mission at the National Park Service is not just December 7, 1941, David Kilton, a spokesman for the memorial, told Stars and Stripes in November 2023. It's the lead-up to the attacks, the actual attack, and the aftermath, continuing all the way to peace and reconciliation, a story still playing out today. The platforms tell a part of that story, he said. The Navy, however, said in its news release that removing the platforms will symbolize the completion of a salvage operation that began more than 80 years ago, involving the efforts of the U.S. Navy's diving and salvage force and thousands of contractors and shipyard workers drawn from the people of Hawaii and many different local communities. The USS Arizona Memorial opened in 1962 and honors the 1,177 crewmen who died on the battleship. The remains of 900 soldiers and Marines were entombed in the doomed vessel as it sank. It receives about 2 million visitors a year. The plan for removing the platforms complies with state and federal laws and regulations, the Navy said. Additionally, all efforts will be coordinated with the National Pearl Harbor Memorial and local officials to ensure the platform removal fully respects the ship's historical importance to the nation and its sacred status as a war grave, the news release states. That's Navy to scrap historic platforms used to salvage doomed USS Arizona. Our next article, VA's growing role of veterans getting POW benefits scrutinized by those once held captive. This article is by Matthew M. Burke of Stars and Stripes from the 19th of May. When the number of former prisoners of war receiving benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs nearly doubled without explanation, an American survivor of the Hanoi Hilton wanted answers. Mike McGrath, a Vietnam veteran who spent 6 years in captivity and now investigates false military claims, says his research points to imposters receiving Veterans Administration POW benefits. The VA offers a different explanation. Officials say the surge in POW figures stems from a confusing accounting system that may count the same veteran more than once across multiple conflicts. The department also acknowledged it does not track where a veteran was held captive. McGrath and a network of fellow POWs and researchers say they've identified cases of veterans falsely claiming POW status to obtain benefits and prestige. It hurts, and it's insulting, because these claimants never spent a day in prison in their life, McGrath said. They've never been tortured. The VA said it's not aware of any fraudulent claims, but officials did not address whether the agency has audited its POW roles. VA conducts a thorough review of all POW claims to ensure service records and other dates align with their dates of service before delivering any benefits, VA Press Secretary Peter Kasparovitz said in a statement. Diverging numbers. McGrath said he first noticed discrepancies in 2008 when VA data on living POWs began to diverge from Defense Department records. In July 2024, the VA, in a report to Congress, tallied 1,191 living POWs from Southeast Asia. In 2008, the VA listed 661, which was in line with the Defense Department fact sheet produced in 2017. McGrath believes just 326 remain alive today. More recent conflicts show even greater inconsistencies. McGrath's research indicates 31 POWs survived the Gulf War and post-9/11 conflicts, yet the VA lists 1,142. Stars and Stripes was able to verify each of the 31 names on McGrath's list following a review of past news articles and press releases. No additional names were found during the review. A December letter from Guy Kayakawa, VA Assistant Secretary for the Office of Enterprise Integration, to former Representative Doug Lamburn, acknowledged that 899 Vietnam-era POWs listed by the VA were not on DOD rosters. The VA validates veterans' claims at the time of enrollment, and exclusion from the DOD tally does not warrant a claim reversal, Kayakawa said. The VA could not provide precise counts of living POWs receiving benefits by conflict. VA Chief Data Officer Lisa Rosenmerkel told Stars and Stripes in March that the agency only tracks POWs by congressionally defined periods of service, not by war. This can lead to double counting if a veteran's service spans multiple periods. If you serve from 1956 to 1970, we'd count you in Korea and Vietnam, Rosenmerkel said. I know it's super confusing, but unfortunately, this is the most kind of granularity we can show. She also confirmed that the VA does not track the location of captivity. Rosenmerkel said she didn't know why earlier tower tallies aligned with DOD data, while current numbers do not. A life's work. McGrath, 85, is a former Navy fighter pilot shot down over North Vietnam in 1967. He spent nearly 6 years in captivity. McGrath was tortured at the infamous Hoa Lo prison, which is better known as the Hanoi Hilton. All the POWs were broken, past name, rank, and serial number, he said. They either broke you or they killed you. He spent decades researching POW claims with the nonprofit NAM POWs, where he serves as historian. In the 1990s, he teamed up with Stolen Valor investigator Mary Shontag, chair of the POW Network. The pair researched press reports and tips about people who were claiming POW status but were not on any Defense Department lists. They built a private database of verified POWs starting with the Vietnam War and began reporting suspicious cases to the VA Inspector General and news outlets. Shontag said the VA has denied Freedom of Information Act requests for supporting documentation on some cases. She provided Stars and Stripes with VA records showing two Vietnam-era benefit recipients who do not appear on official POW lists. They'd rather get several wrong than miss a real guy, Shontag said. McGrath frequently lobbied lawmakers to get around what he saw as VA stonewalling. The VA defines a POW as a service member forcibly detained or interned by an enemy or hostile force. During wartime, DOD makes determinations, but during peacetime, the VA may rule on its own, including on cases supported by buddy statements or supplementary documentation. POWs are eligible for a range of benefits, including pensions, medical care, education assistance, home loans, and burial services. Rosenmerkel said the VA's review process is thorough. There's no self-attestation, she said. We're running it down if they're saying that they were a former prisoner of war. We have a really detailed process document. She declined to release redacted data on claims, such as is done with toxic exposure cases, citing concerns about inadvertently revealing identities. Meanwhile, McGrath's work has support from other former POWs and military officials. I'd like to see the record corrected and the people who do this stuff exposed, and I think they should pay the money back, said Hal Kushner, an Army flight surgeon and POW for more than 5 years in Vietnam. Roger Shields, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for POW-MIA Affairs at the end of the Vietnam War, agreed the VA's numbers don't add up. We were very, very careful to keep those lists of people who were missing and who were prisoners, Shields said. Whatever the VA thinks they have, they need to say what it is and why they think they're prisoners of war, and they need to address the issue. That's VA's growing role of veterans getting POW benefits scrutinized by those once held captive. Well, let's move on to the MilitaryTimes.com website, news from Military Times newspaper. For this article, From Space to Barbed Wire, Museums Welcome Military Families for Free. This is from the 21st of May by Karen Jowers. Want to explore more than 2,000 varieties of barbed wire in the Kansas Barbed Wire Museum? Or get an in-depth look inside the Space Shuttle Trainer crew compartment at the Museum of Flight in Seattle, Washington? Then check out this year's Blue Star Museums program with free opportunities for military families around the country. About 2,000 museums are offering free admission to currently serving military personnel and up to 5 family members now through September the 1st, Labor Day. Participating museums, large and small, can be found in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and Guam. They include history, art, and children's museums, historic sites, botanical gardens, zoos, aquariums, and more. For 15 years, Blue Star Museums has opened doors for military families to explore, connect, and feel at home in their communities, said Kathy Roche Duquet, CEO of Blue Star Families, in an announcement of this year's launch. Thanks to our continued partnership with the National Endowment for the Arts and participating museums nationwide, we're proud to continue this tradition of belonging and enrichment. Museums are more than cultural spaces. They're places where military families feel seen, welcomed, and celebrated. Some museums could provide interesting day trips. With some planning, they could also provide side trips during summer travel, such as during a move to a new duty station. Additional information and a complete list of participating organizations are available at arts.gov/initiatives/blue-star-museums, where you can search by a museum and state. Museums can join the Blue Star Museums program all summer long, and the map will be updated regularly. Those eligible for free admission are currently serving members of the Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Navy, Space Force, Reserves, National Guard, U.S. Public Health Commission Corps, NOAA Commission Corps, and up to 5 family members. Qualified members must show a military ID for entrance into a participating Blue Star Museum. Spouses can show their dependent ID card for free admission if their service member is deployed or otherwise unable to come to the museum. The National Endowment for the Arts is honored to help connect military service members and their families with their communities through the Blue Star Museums program, said Marianne Carter, senior advisor for the National Endowment for the Arts, in the announcement. Participating museums range from large institutions like the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago to smaller museums like the Billings Farm and Museum in Woodstock, Vermont. A spot check of participating museums finds interesting nuggets, like the Kansas Barbed Wire Museum in La Crosse. The Barbed Wire Goes to War exhibit displays military wire and tools. Concertina wire, rolls of twisted barbed wire, first came into widespread use in World War I. One of their more unusual exhibits is a massive raven's nest built mostly out of hundreds of bits of barbed wire lined with grass as a cushion for their eggs. A railroad engineer discovered it in a tree in Greeley County in the 1960s. Some museums offer free admission to the general public all year, and some may offer special discounts for military and veterans. For example, admission is free at the Barbed Wire Museum, but donations are encouraged. Before heading to a museum, be sure to check the hours and other information. That's From Space to Barbed Wire. Museums welcome military families for free. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing. Or did you listen to a program and decide, gosh, I'd like to hear that again or get that information and copy it down? Well, that can be done by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org and searching for that program and streaming it again for your enjoyment. Additionally, that same capability is available on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. That app is available from the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad, or from the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And of course, you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo. We're going to turn now to a publication of one of our veteran service organizations, the Military Officer Magazine of the Military Officers Association of America. This is from their May issue, Make the Most of GI Bill Benefits. These strategies can help you understand available advantages. This article is by Kimberly Lankford. The GI Bill offers such an array of benefits that it can be easy to overlook some of the most valuable ones. Now, a recently enacted rule has expanded benefits for more than 1 million veterans. Initial benefits were introduced in 1944 to help pay education costs for veterans returning from World War II, and they have since evolved. There are currently a few versions, but the most popular is the post-9/11 GI Bill, which launched in 2009 and offers significant new benefits to those who served on active duty after September 10, 2001, including the ability for longtime service members to transfer their benefits to their spouse and dependent children. The GI Bill can cover tuition for undergraduate and graduate programs, covering up to the full cost of 4 years at an in-state public college, and can help pay for continuing education and training. It pays a stipend for books, can cover the cost of tests and certifications, and provides a generous housing allowance. One of the great things about the GI Bill program is that it's extremely versatile and offers a range of benefits beyond degree programs, said Caprice Dyson, a public affairs specialist with the VA's education service team. Certainly, there are administrative hoops to go through when using the benefits, but there are also resources that can help. Here's more about how the GI Bill works, who is eligible, what it covers, and strategies for making the most of this benefit. Benefits for you and your family. You're eligible for post-9/11 GI Bill benefits if you served at least 90 days on active duty since September 11, 2001. You can receive the maximum 36 months of benefits, which usually covers 4 academic years, if you served at least 36 months. If you served less time, the amount of benefits you receive varies from 50 to 90%. You can also qualify for full benefits if you received a Purple Heart since September 11, 2001, or you served for at least 30 consecutive days and were discharged because of a service-connected disability. The spouse and children of a service member who, after September 10, 2001, died in the line of qualifying duty or from a service-connected disability, while a member of the selected reserve, may be eligible for benefits under the Marine Gunnery Sergeant John David Fry Scholarship Program. The post-9/11 GI Bill can cover the full cost of in-state tuition at a public college, some of which allow out-of-state students who are using the GI Bill benefits to pay in-state rates. Alternatively, it can cover up to a set amount each year for a private or foreign college, $28,937.09 for the 2024-25 academic year. The amount changes each August. That annual limit also applies for non-college degree programs such as training programs for HVAC repair or EMTs, or you can use up to the $16,535.46 for a non-degree flight training program in the 2024-2025 academic year. You can also use the benefits for professional education. For example, Cornell University allows eligible students to use the GI Bill for undergraduate and graduate programs, as well as eCornell's online certificate programs, according to Amber Lonsky, a school certifying official at Cornell University. Captain Joseph Brown, U.S. Coast Guard retired, a certified financial planner with financial management firm C.I. Sheldon & Company, recommends service members wait until after leaving active duty to use the GI Bill so they can qualify for the housing allowance. It can give you a nice off-ramp to retool and pursue a career, he said. If you're doing informational interviews and you're talking to someone in an industry you want to pursue, ask what you need and see if the GI Bill pays for it. You might also qualify for a monthly housing allowance. Spouses and children who use transferred benefits can also receive the monthly housing allowance. However, you and your spouse can't receive the allowance while you're on active duty, but your children can. The amount is based on the basic allowance for housing for an E5 with dependents in the zip code where you're attending school. For example, it's $2,241 per month in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but more than double in Cambridge, Massachusetts at $4,638. If your classes are entirely online, you can receive a housing allowance worth 50% of the national average. The VA's online GI Bill comparison tool shows the housing allowance by school. You must be enrolled more than half time to receive the housing allowance, and the benefits are prorated if you're enrolled less than full time. The benefits are also prorated if you're only eligible for partial post 9/11 GI Bill benefits. It's very important that students understand how the housing stipend works because each school can be different, said Rachel Cardwell, an assistant registrar for Veterans at Benefits at Georgetown University. For example, Georgetown has more users of the GI Bill in graduate school than undergraduate, and the number of credits the graduate programs consider to be full-time can vary. Contact the school certifying official to ask, Cardwell said. Notably, you can only receive the monthly housing allowance for the months in which you're attending school, meaning those in between semesters are ineligible. The post 9/11 GI Bill can also provide up to $1,000 each academic year for books and supplies based on the number of credits you take or per month at a non-degree school. The government can deposit this stipend directly into your bank account at the beginning of each term. You can also receive financial support for exam fees and test prep courses, said Dyson, the VA public affairs specialist. Expanded eligibility. You might now qualify for additional benefits if you had two separate periods of service and were eligible for both the Montgomery GI Bill and the post 9/11 GI Bill. Previously, you could only keep up to 36 months of benefits between the two programs, and you might have to give up some benefits you had earned. Dubbed the Rudisill decision, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled April 16, 2024, that those who earned benefits under both the Montgomery GI Bill and the post 9/11 GI Bill can use both benefits up to a 48-month limit. Following that decision, we expanded access to the GI Bill benefits to eligible veterans who served multiple periods of service, Dyson said. Those veterans may be able to receive up to an additional 12 months of benefits. Previously, they had to choose between the Montgomery GI Bill and the post 9/11 GI Bill, and they would have a maximum of 36 months. Under the new policy, they don't have to make that choice. The VA estimates more than 1 million people can now receive extra benefits. That change came just in time for Lila Quintalani, MOA's Program Director for Financial and Benefits Education and Counseling, and her husband, Lieutenant Colonel Jared Bondison, who was on active duty in the Army. The couple had transferred benefits to their two daughters, who are currently in college. Bondison started paying into the Montgomery GI Bill when he joined the Army as an E-1. He applied to the Green to Gold program as an E-5 and was discharged from the service to attend college through ROTC. He also used some of his Montgomery GI Bill benefits during that time. He began his second period of service as an Army officer. Even though he worked long enough to earn full post-9/11 GI Bill benefits, he could only receive 10 months because he'd already used 26 months of the Montgomery GI Bill. But the Rudisill decision gave him an additional 12 months of post-9/11 GI Bill benefits. We had to strategize a lot because we only had a few months, and now we have the windfall, said Quintel Ilani, whose daughter Lena, a sophomore at George Mason University, is using some of the extra benefits this semester. The VA will automatically review your claim for extra benefits if you last received an education claim decision August 15, 2018, or later. You don't need to take any action, Dyson said. If you last received a decision on your education claim before August 15, 2018, you must submit a VA Form 22-1995 so the department can review your eligibility. Transferring benefits. The post-9/11 GI Bill lets longtime service members transfer benefits to a spouse and dependent children who can then receive the same benefits for tuition and fees, books, and the housing allowance. Remember that even if you're on active duty and aren't eligible for it yourself, dependent children can still receive the housing allowance. You can transfer benefits after you've served 6 years and agree to serve at least four more. The clock on the 4 years starts after you make the transfer, but you can only transfer benefits to dependents who are enrolled in the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System. To start that process, request a transfer of education benefits through MIL Connect. You can allocate 36 months however you want among yourself, your spouse, and your children. You can change the allocation at any time, but you can't add new beneficiaries after you leave service. Once you get out, you can't designate another dependent. You can go from 1 month to 36 months at any time, but you can never go from 0 to 1 month, explained Brown, the certified financial planner. Before you leave the service, make sure everyone has 1 month. Spouses can use transferred benefits right away, whereas dependent children can start after you've completed at least 10 years of service, whether or not you're on active duty. Procedures for using benefits. To start using your benefits, complete VA Form 22-1990. Dependents using transferred benefits should complete VA Form 22-1990E. Because of the modernization efforts, veterans who are applying to use their benefits are sometimes getting automatic decisions, Dyson said. Once your application has been processed, we issue you a certificate of eligibility that shows how much is available to you. Not all schools require you to submit a copy of the certificate, and if you don't have one, institutions can verify eligibility through the VA's online portal, noted Georgetown's Cardwell. You usually need to submit forms to the college each semester. Specifics vary by school. 2 months before each semester begins, I send out an email to everyone who is newly admitted or returning, and I let them know that they need to complete a benefits request form, Cardwell said. If you're using a benefit that's covering your tuition, we place an estimated credit memo on the account so students don't pay anything up front. We wait until payment comes in, then we clear the account. Each college tends to have a school certifying official based in the veterans or registrar's office who submits information about each student's course load to the VA. They can be a great source of information about veterans' benefits. How to maximize GI Bill benefits? If you have more than one child, you might need to divvy up the GI Bill benefits. rather than dividing them evenly, take into account the cost of each college and the value of the housing allowance at each school. Quintiliani and Bundesen compared total costs when deciding how to use the GI Bill benefits they transferred to their daughters, who are attending University of Florida and George Mason University. In-state tuition and scholarships made the University of Florida less expensive than George Mason, and the monthly housing benefit in Fort Fairfax, Virginia is nearly $1,000 more than it is in Gainesville, Florida. So they chose to use the benefits at GMU. The Yellow Ribbon program can also make a difference. Colleges offer these scholarships and the VA matches them. The financial aid can help cover tuition beyond the GI Bill's annual limit. It's a supplemental benefit designed to pay for higher out-of-state, foreign, or private schools that the GI Bill wouldn't normally fully cover because there's a cap, Dyson said. Each school decides whether to participate, the number and size of the awards, and the application process. Some offer Yellow Ribbon scholarships on a first-come, first-served basis. Others, like Georgetown University, don't have a cap. The VA's website has more information and can help you find a participating school, but verify the details with the school certifying official. If you're going to visit the college, try to make an appointment with the Veterans Office, too, Brown said. Our author, Kimberly Lankford, is a financial expert based in Virginia and the spouse of a retired Army colonel. And that article was Make the Most of GI Bill Benefits. We're going to turn now to the Veterans Administration for some information. The first item is from MyHealth eVet, which is myhealth.va.gov. MyHealth eVet is moving on June the 4th, 2025. What to know about this change? MyHealth eVet on va.gov is our new health portal for managing your health care online. After June 4th, 2025, you'll need to use this new experience instead of the previous MyHealth eVet experience. We want you to know what's changing from the previous MyHealth eVet experience, how to get started, and how to get support if you need it. What to expect? After June the 4th, when you sign in to the current MyHealth eVet, you'll notice we've moved over to the new experience on va.gov. You'll need to go to MyHealth eVet on va.gov to access appointments, medical records, medications, and messages. We encourage you to start using the new MyHealth eVet experience today. And you can manage your health care with MyHealth eVet on va.gov. Important note, veterans who receive care from a VA health facility that uses the MyVA Health portal will still need to go to that portal to manage their health care needs for now. What's new? You can now manage your VA health care in the same place where you manage your other VA benefits and services, and our new mobile-first design and accessibility improvements make it easier to use on any device. We've also added these features and more. Track messages more easily with threaded conversations and faster autosave. Review, print, and download specific parts of your medical records. Add VA health appointments to your personal digital calendar. Review your submitted travel pay reimbursement claims and file simple mileage claims. Review your after-visit summaries. Order certain medical supplies and equipment online. Other important changes to note. Self-entered health information. You can use the Our Share My Health Data app to track your vitals and share them with your provider. You can no longer use MyHealth eVet as a personal health record to enter and store your own health information outside of your electronic health record. This change helps us make sure that all your important information is in the record your care team has access to. Tell your team about new information you'd like added to your record. To access your previously self-entered information, go to the medical records section of the new MyHealth eVet experience on va.gov. Then select the self-entered health information report. This report includes historical data entered in these My Healthy Vet features: caregivers, health history, journals, my coverage, self-entered medications and supplements, self-entered tests, self-entered vitals, and treatment facilities. Shared vitals. We're replacing the shared vitals feature with the web version of Share My Health Data. After June the 4th, you'll be able to launch Share My Health Data from the medical records section of the new My Healthy Vet experience on va.gov. There you can securely add health details from your device and share them with your VA care team. The VA Blue Button Report. After June the 4th, the VA Blue Button Report will no longer include My Goals, Wellness Reminders, or VA Electrocardiogram information. If you want to save your historical data for your records, download a VA Blue Button Report before this date. How to get started. Sign in to My Healthy Vet on va.gov with your identity verified login.gov or id.me account. There you'll find links to the new versions of your trusted health tools. After you use the new versions of these tools, select feedback from any page within the portal, then answer the three questions to tell us what you think. We use your feedback to keep improving our tools for you and all veterans. How to get support for My Healthy Vet? You can call the VA at 877-327-0022 or TTY at 800-877-8339. They're there Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Or you can contact the My Health eVet Help Desk staff online. For other questions about VA online services, you can call them at 800-698-2411 or TTY 711. They're there 24/7. And that's My Health eVet is moving on June the 4th, 2025. An informational newsletter from www.myhealth.va.gov. We have this from news.va.gov, Memorial Day observances and events across the country. This from the 20th of May, and we just have the items here for Arizona. May the 26th, from 8 to 9 a.m., Carefree Arizona. There will be a Memorial Day cemetery in Carefree, and you can find that at www.va.gov/outreach-and-events/events/79120. Also on the 26th of May from 8 to 9, we have a Memorial Day event in Phoenix. Again, on va.gov/outreach-and-events/events/79523. And finally, in Prescott, we have an event from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And that, again, can be found at va.gov/outreach-and-events/events/79612. Or you can just go to news.va.gov and search for hashtag vet resources or top stories or vets experience, and the calendar for all of the VA observances will come up. And that's Memorial Day observances and events across the country. Finally, we have this item. A reminder, dear veterans, please be advised that Monday, May the 26th, Memorial Day, is recognized as a federal holiday. All VA outpatient clinics and administrative offices will be closed. Veterans who require urgent care or tele-emergency care can call the VISN 8 Clinical Contact Center at 1-877-741-3400 for 24/7, 365 support, or you can visit an in-network urgent care facility. To find an urgent care facility near you, please visit www.va.gov/find-locations. If you are experiencing a medical or mental health emergency, please dial 911 or visit the closest emergency room. Upcoming federal holidays, all VA outpatient clinics and administrative offices will be closed on the following days. For 2025, Monday, May the 26th is Memorial Day. Thursday, June 19th is Juneteenth. Friday, July the 4th, Independence Day. Monday, September the 1st is Labor Day. Monday, October 13th, Columbus Day. Thursday, November 11th, Veterans Day. Thursday, November 27th, Thanksgiving Day. And Thursday, December 25th, is Christmas Day. And for 24/7, 365 virtual urgent care, or 24/7, 365 tele-emergency care, contact VA Health Connect at 877-741-3400. That's a reminder from the VA that they will be closed on federal holidays, the next one coming up Monday, May the 26th, Memorial Day. Well, this brings this week's edition of Weekly Reveille to an end. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, in Flagstaff, and I'd like to thank you for joining me for this week's edition of Weekly Reveille, and remind you that you can listen to Weekly Reveille or any other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming, either as it streams or at a time of your choosing, by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org, or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app from the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad, or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo.